Let us read a couple of verses.
1
Corinthians chapter 1,
22-24.
Are we there yet?
翻到了再一起读.
Let us read. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 22-24. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greek foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Luke chapter 2, 8-15. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy with what will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherd being saying to each other, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Philippians chapter 2, 5-11. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he exists in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above all name. For so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, to those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he may render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery or their lives.
好, 彼得后书第三章,
前书,
好, 有哥林多前书第一章, 1-2节,
First Corinthians 1 and 2. By the will of God and Sudinus, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who is every place called on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and ours. This may be a misprint. It's nothing to do with what we are going to talk about today.
1
Peter chapter 3. Verse First Peter chapter 3, 20 and 21. You once were disobedient when the practice of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8%, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal of God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Revelation 22:1. Then he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And verse 21. Grace of Lord Jesus Christ are with you all. Amen. Revelation 21:21. The book of Revelation 21:21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gaze was of one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, like a transparent glass. So last Sunday we were talking about the redemptive cross. Today we're going to talk about the cross of life. And this is an important lesson for us. The last lesson will be the victorious cross. And as children of God, we all need to understand this. The cross of life is a lesson that we have to learn in our lifetime. In the song we just sang, it says that the cross of Golgotha cannot save you. But it is the cross that is in you that could make you whole. And the psalmist wrote a great song. But I think that when he wrote the Golgotha cross cannot save you, I think that's a little exaggerated. I tell you that when we are saved, we are definitely saved by the cross of Golgotha. So it's a great song, but I think some of the lyrics may not be true. I tell you that our worship team did a great job. That when we go into this one planet, and I think the songwriter wrote a great song. That doesn't matter what planet we go to. That when we're saved, we're not going to a strange planet, but the third heaven. When we will come back with the Lord. And the New Jerusalem will be in this world. That I tell you that we're not setting our mind in heaven. When I was in China, a couple co-workers, they respected me a lot. But then I told them that in me, I never think about what heaven is like. And all of a sudden, that they were offended. That one of the brothers said that when my grandfather died, he saw heaven. And then another famous writer wrote about heaven. And then I said, brother, I don't care about what your grandfather saw. I don't care about that famous author. I only care about the Bible. So point out some verses that talk about the heaven in the Bible. And all of a sudden, you couldn't think of one. So I tell you that there is none. There's only one place. In Hebrews chapter 9, he says that Jesus revealed himself in heaven. Now that's the Chinese version. I tell you that even the word heaven is not what you think it is. But I tell you that it talks about hell. Even Jesus said that there is a place called hell. So one of the songs says that when Jesus is with you, then you are already in heaven. That in the future, we will be with the Lord.
主在那里,
wherever Jesus is, where we will be.
主在那里,
wherever Jesus is, that's where heaven is. So I tell you that heaven is a pagan thought. What we are pursuing is the presence of the Lord. Is that wherever Jesus is, that's where heaven is. So when we talk about the cross, the cross of life, it is the lesson that we have to learn in our lifetime. So let us first understand that there are two different types of lives in us. The people that don't believe in Christ, they're simple, they only have one life. But for us, the Christians, we have two different lives. One is a natural life. One is the life of our Lord. The natural life is just like everyone else. And this natural life will never change. But the life of our Lord is completely different. And these two life in extremes are both in us. So that's why we have conflicts. It will make you unpeaceful. And I tell you that this is the holy conflict. That in us there are these two different lives. One life tried to pull you one way, the other one the other. And the Lord's life is in us. And this is an extraordinary life. When the Son of God, Word became flesh and came to this world. He is an absolute God. On the other hand, the Lord had prepared for him this extraordinary soul. So that's why the soul of the Lord is so beautiful. Something that no man has ever encountered. It is so beautiful that even the angels are shaken. That God has prepared for Jesus this most beautiful soul. And this beautiful life now is in Jesus. Become this new life. A new creation. Because this life was never been. So that's why it has the power of the Holy Spirit. But then also Jesus has the life of a man. Is that he is not here to be humble. But yet his life is a humble life. He is not there to be obedient. But his life naturally is to be obedient. So when these two different lives come together, these now become this eternal life. So at the end of 1 John, he said, this is our true God. It is also the eternal life. God externally to us, He is God. But when God is in you, it becomes your eternal life. Now, don't you realize that you have eternal life? A lot of people, they don't understand. But I tell you that you may not even feel this life in you. Now, how do you know that you are your father's daughter, son? They said, of course I know. So show me how you are your father's son. How didn't you show me any proof? But I tell you that it is because your father's life is in you. There is no question about it. You look like your father. Your temper is like your father. For some of the sons, they walk like the father. Whatever he does, he is like the father. And that is the life of your father. So today the Lord has given us his life. So that's why the most precious thing as a Christian is that your life has transformed. For all the Christians in the world, they're different from the worldly people. Because we have a transformed life. So today we're going to talk about the cross of life. We have read a couple of Bible verses. One verse says that there's nothing that I know for more, but Jesus died for us on the cross. It's the both said by Paul. And then on the other place it says that the Jews seek for a sign. And the Greek seeks after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Now, is it those two different sayings? Christ and the fact that he died on the cross. And the crucified Christ are different. They may sound the same, but they're very different. Christ and Christ who crucifies on the cross. It talked about an action, a fact. It is Jesus who went down to Golgotha and died on the cross. And through this action, he has completed the salvation. Also completed redemption. He shed his blood so that our sins can be forgiven. And give us his life. Now, on the other hand, when Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, and we preach Christ crucified, big difference. Christ crucified is not focusing on the act that Christ died on the cross. But it describes Christ as that his life is to be crucified. So that's why the crucified life follows Christ the whole life. The Lord came with a completely different life. When he was born, the whole world went crazy. Because they now realize that God is among men. Words became flesh to dwell with us. And the life of the Lord is so different from everyone else. When he was born, there's two extremes. And then for these things, God has arranged many different things. At that time, the Roman Empire was huge. But the Lord's sovereign hand make the king of Roman give a command to ask all men to go back to the birthplace. And that's a great thing. Such a huge empire, yet everyone has to go back to their birthplace. Just for one thing, so that Joseph and Maria can go back to Bethlehem. Because Jesus needs to be born in Bethlehem. So that everyone in Roman Empire is now on the move. For Joseph and Maria, they are poor people. When they went into Bethlehem, all the inns were filled. And because everyone went back to the birthplace. And they're poor, so they cannot afford a room. So that they gave birth to Jesus in the open. They didn't even have a bed for the baby. And then the baby has to be put in a manger. Now, is any one of you born in a manger? I'm pretty sure you guys are all born on a bed somewhere. But Jesus was lower than you were. And then Maria couldn't even find a piece of linen to wrap the baby. He could only wrap him in cloth. And tell you that it is during the winter time. It was very cold. And I tell you that how pitiful it is for this baby. It is not, he doesn't even have what the other babies have. He was born in an open area. He was born in a manger. And in such a cold winter, he was born and he was only covered by a piece of cloth. And how pitiful it is, this baby. But I tell you, this baby is an absolute God. And then he was coming in glory. And it is this glory that's attracted other people to come for him. When the glory comes out, and then that glory surrounded a couple of shepherds. Very different, two types of people are attracted to him. The wise man represents the people with wisdom, the people that are noble, and also the shepherds that are drawn. These shepherds are without education. The lower people. But it is the salvation that comes to all people. The shepherd got their news from an angel. It is the first time the gospel is preached through an angel. The angel preached the gospel for once. Because from that time on, the responsibility of preaching the gospel came to the church. There is one thing that makes me sad. I knock about this church, St. Gabriel. But I tell you that our couple of churches, but I tell you that none of us has the burden of preaching the gospel. So why don't you stand up and take on the responsibility and preach? I tell you that preaching the gospel is our duty. When we preach the gospel, it matters of someone's eternal death or life. The people that we get to meet, they are all going to eternal destruction. And Paul said that if I don't preach the gospel, then woe will come. So I tell you, children of God, preach the gospel. So today, let me call on you to go preach. Everyone knows how to preach. Just simply tell the other person how you got saved. And it is the Holy Spirit that will work. If you can't, the Lord can. If you are without power, the Lord has power. I tell you that the gospel is the power of the Lord. It is for everyone who wants to believe. So when you preach, it will work. If you don't preach, then it will go nowhere. I tell you that the Holy Spirit needs to work. When we preach, the Holy Spirit works. I tell you that in my lifetime I've met great sinners. The hardest men, they're saved. The ones that are impossible to believe, they are now believing. But I tell you that aren't I just as weak as you are? But you can be a witness of the power of the gospel. When you preach, then the life will work. It will save all that believe. So go preach. Right?
Go preach. So next year when I come, it will be more. Today, I thought that I was not so great. Before, all the places I go to is always filled. I could only see that all the empty seats are filled, but now, not so. And I think that I'm so ashamed of myself right now. So, brothers and sisters, go preach. So go spread the gospel. The Lord's life came to this world. And this region is surrounded by the glory. And the angel preached the false gospel. He says, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. That in Bethlehem there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So go to Bethlehem, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. This is a sign for you that the Son of God came to this world. The sign for him is that he is wrapping cloth and lying in a manger. And this is the Christ crucified. When he was in this world, the cross was with him already. What is Christ crucified? It is a life of sacrificing and obedience. A humble life. This most beautiful life. But I tell you that I don't think anyone has seen Jesus. But how we love Jesus. 2,000 and some years, people love Jesus. And after Jesus was resurrected, in 70 years, his gospel got to Asia to proclaim that he is the Son of God. And then the gospel is so powerful. After the Lord is resurrected, the first thing he did was he preached to the Israelites. And then he used the Briton. Then he used the Germans. He used the Russians. And then the last couple hundred years, the Americans. And these 50 years, the Chinese. I tell you, the Chinese are great. At the very beginning, when I was in Shanghai, there was only... The government reports that there's about 1 million Christians. And I don't even think it's 1 million, maybe it's just 600,000. But now it's 150 million. It is not the work of the preachers. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's how the Chinese are saved. And here the Chinese brothers and sisters, they go preach. A brother was with me a couple of days ago. And then he said the gospel needs to preach back to Jerusalem. And it is the work of the Chinese. And I say, how can this be the responsibility of Chinese? And he said, well, it's close to China. Now the gospel is in Xinjiang. We are so close. And our brother, that's a great word you said. But then the Bible didn't say it. The Bible never said that if it's Chinese, they will bring the gospel back into Jerusalem. I tell you that the gospel has been in Jerusalem. The Europeans and Americans already preached the Jerusalem. But then the places between China and Jerusalem, those are all Muslims. The hardest people to preach to. And I said, brother, even though the Bible didn't say it, if you want to do it, go do it. But then don't just say it, do it.
你中国人是不是?
You're Chinese, right?
你中国人,你也是相信福音的,靠中国人传到耶路撒冷,
if you truly believe that it is the Chinese, they will bring the gospel back to Jerusalem. I do not like people then just saving.
你话不走啊,
work and do it.
在你思维先传啊,
just preach the gospel around you first.
我想你不会飞,
I don't think you're just going to check on a plane and go to Jerusalem and preach. Start preaching to the people around you. Because it is a matter of the Lord's second coming.
主降生,
when the Lord came,
荣耀出去,
the glory spread.
他的绝对的神,
he is an absolute God.
另外一面,
also, the sign for him is the cloth and manger.
他的钉十字架的基督,
this is the Christ crucified.
一路走过来,
his whole way is on the cross.
到了高峰了,
when Matthew chapter 17, when he was in the pinnacle,
主耶稣上山了,
when Jesus was on the mount,
你这雅各月,
Peter, John, and Mark was with him. And then Jesus transformed. All of a sudden, it is the form of glory. And this glory was filled with the mountaintop. Moses and Elijah, they showed up. And then they spoke to Jesus. Based on one center, it talked about the passing of Jerusalem. In the glory, they talked about the cross. In the Bible, passing is one word. It is the word exit, like Exodus. Exit. I think everyone drives. When you drive to a place, you need to get out. On the freeway, there are exits. So we have to exit. Jesus, on the Mount of Transformation, he talked about his exit. He needed to exit out. He has to exit from his flesh. He has to exit from this world. So that he may enter into glory. He talked about his exit. So after he came back from the Mount, and James and Peter and John, these three people, they had their spirits. These are the three people that saw the glory of the King of Kings. But then when they came back from the Mount, when they went to Samaria, and then it is a place that rejected Christ. And then these three disciples, they couldn't take it anymore. And then he said, these people said to the people, and told these people, you are rejecting the Son of God. We have just seen his glory. And then what they said to Jesus, the next thing that they said to Jesus is, do you want us to command so the fireball will come and destroy these people? And then when they said this thing, it is things that happened in the Bible before. Just like Elijah, he did it. Just like what had happened in the Old Testament before. And then what Jesus said to them. And Jesus said, so you don't even know what your spirit is now. What your will is to kill these people, you don't even know what you're saying. But these people were prideful. I tell you that at this point, the disciples are so different from Jesus. When I was younger, I thought that Jesus must have picked the wrong people to be his disciples. Why didn't he just pick Nicodemus? Or maybe the nobleman Joseph? Or maybe he could pick the chief tax collector, Zechariah. Why did he pick these 12 people? Even Peter, the main disciple, he rejected Christ three times. So when I first read the Bible, I despised Peter. Peter didn't know heaven and earth. And I will never be like Peter. But when the life comes close to an end, comes to danger, then aren't we just all as weak as Peter? Peter was weak at that time because Christ has not been resurrected. But then I tell you that Peter, at the end, he died for Christ. He was no longer in fear. He left Rome and he came back to die on the cross for Christ. Just like today, a lot of Chinese at the mortar. But then I'm not saying that all of a sudden children of God will be wonderful. But it is after the life comes in. So that's why Christ, he walked his whole life to be crucified. So Christ showed us his humbleness. Even two of the disciples, the mother of these two disciples, they came and asked Jesus. She came to ask for her two sons. James and John, the two of them who went on to the mountain with Jesus. And this mother asked, let one of my sons sit on your left and the other son sit on your right. And then all the rest of the disciples, they were angry. If the left and the right are taken, then where are we to be? And those are the 12 disciples before Christ died. And Jesus said that it is not up to me who sits on my left and my right. It is my Father. And Jesus says, do you know what cup I have to drink from? And then the disciple says, yes, I can drink from the same cup. And I thought to myself, how can Jesus tolerate these people? But I tell you that it is the same Jesus that is tolerating you. Now, are you despising the Lord? But I tell you that it is Jesus who is tolerating us. I don't think Jesus is tolerating us. But it is through his amazing love that through our thinking we will never understand. That even these ugly people get to live together and to dwell together. And I don't think that Jesus is tolerating us. Jesus loves us. And then at the Last Supper, Jesus stood up and washed the feet of his disciples. And to wash someone's feet, you have to knee down and bow down. And then when he got to Peter, Peter said that, no, I don't dare you to wash my feet. And then Jesus said that if I don't wash your feet, then you have nothing to do with me. And then in the four Gospels, it is Peter has this character. He likes to speak. He acts so fast, he doesn't think about what the consequences are. He doesn't care, he just says his mind. He speaks his mind. So when on the Mount of Transformation, Peter spoke. The other two disciples didn't dare to speak, but Peter spoke. Peter said, this is a great place. Let me build new three tents. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you. But I tell you that that's the wrong thing he said. How can you compare Jesus to Moses and Elijah? If you put all three of them together, you are equaling them. So God spoke. And he said, this is my beloved son. You have to listen to him. And then when they left the mountain, the image is gone. Only Jesus. This humble Jesus. When he was spoken to on the mountain, transformed on the mountain, came back down the mountain, came back down from the mountain and preached the gospel. Down the mountain and laid down himself. And in this whole way, he showed his life. Christ crucified. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, versus Christ crucified, very different. Christ gave us now his new life. A new life from the cross. So which life are you showing? That we have experienced many things. Last time when I went to Taiwan, I met some older brothers. Brothers that I've known since we were in the United States. One brother, I even knew him when I was in Taiwan. And then I was in this room. Two of us were roommates. He was my roommate. And then all of a sudden, we received an order. I have to leave Taipei. I have to go to another missionary. And someone else will come in and take my place in this room. And then that night, I was still there. And then the brother is not going to come on the second until next day. And that one that was busy, I didn't have time to pack up. And then I came back to my room. And then I was so angry when I saw my room. My roommate already took all my stuff and threw it outside. And he even put my handkerchief with my boots. And my rain boots and my handkerchief, they're all now mingled in the same place. I was very angry. Well, if someone is moving in, wait till I move out. I haven't even moved out, you just threw my stuff away. And how can you put my rain boots and my handkerchief together? And then the Lord spoke to me. What did the Lord say? The Lord said, then why don't you pour him a drink? And I thought that that was weird. All of a sudden, my anger is gone. I pour him a glass of milk. And I said, brother, thank you for packing up for me. Why don't you have a glass of milk? I tell you the two very different lives. One life is your natural life. I didn't decide to be angry. I became angry. The other is the life of the Lord. The crucified life. The most humble life. To live out, to reveal the Lord. To reveal the life of Christ. I've met many people. But when the Christ is in them, sometimes when they're taken advantage of, when people want to fight with them, they would bow and not say nothing. When you think that someone is bowing down and not saying nothing, you thought the other person is at fault. Whoever is louder is always right. But I tell you that it's not for the Christians. This is the power of Christ. What is this power? This power is that you could bowed and be humbled. It is Christ's life that is in us. Christ crucified. So, brothers and sisters, when you go home, reveal this new life. When you have these two lives, which one are you going to choose? To follow your natural life. To live out the life of Adam. To go with the Lord's life. Then you revealed Christ. The cross of life is in every little thing you do. And I asked brothers and sisters, have you threw a tantrum before? Have anyone not thrown a tantrum before? I've met a brother. Both of them are already passed away. This brother is 5 years older than me. The one that are in my age, they're all mostly gone. And I tell you that I should not be long. Today I can still speak the words of the Lord to you. It is the grace of God. Today I still want to go to Taiwan. I still want to go to China. When I'm in Taiwan, I'll be 89 years old. There's a brother who is 12 years older than me. Today he's 99. Every year he still goes past the ocean. And then this year he said that next year I'm 100 years old and I'm done. And then I wanted to follow him, so I have 10 more years to go. So every time I go, I count it as one. To be able to serve is the grace of the Lord. To preach. To reveal Christ. In all the little things we do, reveal Christ. Before I believed in the Lord, I had a bad temper. Couldn't take anything. I also wanted to police the people. If I see someone being taken advantage of, I will police it. But then I never use an actual weapon. But then I would go fight for someone else. If you're taking advantage of someone else, I will beat you up. I had a bad temper. After I believed the Lord, the Lord came into me. The Lord is in me. My temper is gone. After believing the Lord 68 years, I don't remember throwing a tantrum. Just like a ball. A ball, when you push on it, it bounces. If you hit it lightly, it doesn't bounce much. If you hit it hard, it bounces up a lot. But if you punch a hole in this ball, a small hole, then the air leaks. If you hit it, it doesn't bounce no more. Don't bounce. It doesn't bounce. And maybe this is a bad comparison. The Lord is not really just making us leap. But it is the bad life. We are now filled with this new life. You will never make the Lord be angry at you. When you dwell in His life, anger is gone. They look at you, see a transformed person. I believe in the Lord when I was freshman in college. The people that are first saved after me are the people around me. The Lord that I believe in, I make them jealous of me. This person completely transformed. Brothers and sisters, we have received this great salvation that the life of Christ is now in you. It is this life that gives us the life, the cross of life. In all things, in all things, we can choose to reveal Christ. So I tell you that the cross of life is a lifelong lesson. In all the big and small things, even the smallest things, you can still reveal Christ. That my teacher, he wrote a song. Brother Ni, not in our songbook. In the song says that in all things there is a cross. In all paths there is a decision. Choose and reveal Christ. That in all things there is a cross. When you meet this one circumstance, don't think it's random, but I tell you that it's your chance. Are you going to review your old life? Or are you going to review your new life? Let us choose. So let us encourage each other in these lessons. Remind each other. The most important aspect of the cross. Then after this, we will talk about the victorious cross. So that children of God will understand. Let's sing Psalm 389 again.